Concentrating for this year, and we hope in future as well, on urban spaces, on the open spaces within the urban landscape. We've done a number of activities under this project. We have a weekly radio program broadcast over Kantipur FM on Saturday mornings. In February, we'll be starting a series of video documentaries also within collaboration with NEFES, the Nepal Forum of Environmental Journalists, through their trademark video magazine, Akitya. We've held discussions with people who are interested in this issue, and there was one this morning as well. We had a couple of researchers doing research on the subject. And one of the ways of reaching out to a larger public has been these lectures that we started. We had John Sande for the first lecture, and now we have Mr. Bharat Sharma doing the second lecture. And all of these lectures and everything that we do are also put online and using new media, new social media, with which I'm not very conversant, so I can't explain what we're doing. My colleagues who are in charge of that know better. But we're very lucky to have Mr. Bharat Sharma here, who's going to speak on the roles of urban spaces and the present status in Kathmandu. He will be speaking for about 20 to 30 minutes, and after which we can have a brief question and answer session. And we can all go up to another event that is happening upstairs, which is a book release of a series of books on Newar architecture, which is similar in theme, and which has been produced and written by the well-known conservationist Niels Goodshow. But to introduce Bharat Sharma as my duty, he is an architect and engineer, environmental planner, who has spent 35 years as a civil servant in the Department of Urban Development and Building. He currently teaches urban planning at the Institute of Engineering, Pujok, and architecture at the Nepal Engineering College. He has a particular interest in environmental issues, especially with regard to urban spaces, and has published many articles on the subject. And we're very lucky to have him here to share his insights on the subject. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you please switch off your phones? I'm sorry.
I got to switch off my work.
Thank you.
Okay, so it has been called that in all humility, I would say that at least I don't take it as a lecture. It is like my personal kind of feelings over this and some studies that I have done in this regard. So in all humility, I think you have to take it that way. And when I see, you know, lots of learned people around, those people who know the subject very well, I think it should be too much to call it lecture. Okay. Now, see, talking about open spaces, you know, let me make a couple of things pretty clear. Here, basically, I'll be touching on our traditional open spaces. When I say traditional open spaces, it is regarding our traditional towns. Because even those days, we used to have big town of open spaces, Puri Chowk, or Lagal Chowk, all those shows, peripheral big chunk of spaces for entirely different persons on the periphery of the town. So that distinction has to be made. Very often when we talk from Western point of view, when we talk about open spaces, the rules rather get down to pretty narrow domain, like recreational parks, like environmental parks, which I don't deny. Of course, open spaces do play the recreational aspect. Open spaces do have environmental relationship. But in our context, when I'm talking about open spaces in our traditional town of Kathmandu Valley, that too Kathmandu Valley, then I'm trying to stress few more points. Here, the socio-cultural aspect is very, very much guided. Like in context of open space, Professor Tiwari is around, and he has written a lot on it. Even the street I treat as an open space. The street, because the street is a very strong link joining the hierarchical spaces. And open spaces in the past have been in the hierarchy, right from clan-based courtyard to your individual courtyard to the donor point square, a market square, or the bar square. All of them. They are in certain hierarchy, in context of scale, and its function. But nonetheless, the street, Professor Tiwari has written very loud and clear, and I really wholeheartedly support it, that our generic street is not just anthropometrically, you know, on the scale, anthropometrically human. It's more than that. It used to be meant for the pedestrian. Now, when I'm talking on that, let me, you know, relate it with the present status. Very recently, you must have noticed what is happening around Kathmandu city. In many places, you will find that how ruthlessly the right of pedestrian has been totally replaced. All the footpaths within past was not very good enough, but now all the footpaths have been taken away in name of widening the road for the vehicle. So in past, the main concern was for the pedestrian, and the street in that context was a very strong link, social and cultural link. In fact, people used to walk on the street and the gods used to walk on the street. I put it in rather exaggerated way. The chariot of the gods, all our social religious gathering used to pass through the street. So, the street definitely was not meant for automatic movement. The street was a very strong link between the house is on either side, the bonding surface is like a face, which provided a very strong sense of enclosure or intimacy, which in most, in many places you wouldn't find that sense of intimacy and sense of that social interaction. People used to have their workplace at the lower floor and at the upper floor they would be living. So it's a multifunctional kind of bonding surface was on either side of the seat. And the scale and morphology of the seat was such, serving what, by the way, right now I'm at late stage, I'm involved with the so-called PhD dissertation thing, and I'm involved with that. Professor Tiwari is my supervisor also. What I'm trying to study in the dissertation is that it's not the socio-cultural values only. When you look into the morphological aspect of the sea, look into it, how it goes around the town, how is the geometry of the sea, how does it, you never find axial sea. It goes, it doesn't take that drastic circular kind of, you know, movement, but it does take you to very many points where the seat unfolds the expectations and surprises. Then you come to such a place where, my God, you start, you know, you say, ah, wow, what a place. So it was a very much designed kind of, it didn't happen by chance. It was very much, though we hardly know about the architects or planets of those days, hardly those individuals are mentioned. But the society used to function, go around those unwritten norms of the past, which was very much actively taken. Just think of the sea. The width of the sea wouldn't be constant all the time. It does break on the nodal point when you have a square, whether it's a better thing or any other place. I'm just pointing all often to many. You'll find some elements of surprises and other functional elements around it. In fact, those nodal points, you'll find that Professor Tiwari has written in the book that the so-called zoning that we so-called, you know, educators in the outside, we talk about zoning and the land planning in Kathmandu these days, and we have done scores of that, and they have totally failed. But in the past, I wouldn't condone that it was great, but let's ask that social values of those days, zoning was the certain locality. I wouldn't call it community. Community is a rather, it is, the word can have different meaning in Western context. I would rather prefer to call it a tome. In the past, it used to be called tome. So, certain tome would be very much of certain class with their own homogeneity, and then around it, you have heterogeneity of the class, having their own place. But think of the beauty of place making of those days. How places were made. There's a big difference. I need not tell you, you know, around that what is the difference between place and space. The space is a vast, you know, expanse of geographical space. Whereas when you say place making, you have certain activities, certain pre-existing kind of activities happening in a very definite way. It behaves in a certain way. So, you say, among the heterogeneity, when people used to come around the so-called lower points of the square, it became the homogeneous society. That demarcation or compartmentalization based on that wouldn't be there. So isn't it an amazing kind of thing that when you go to such a heated flowing water and all, though you have worked well in such a class-based community which is exclusively serving that class, but when you come out and come to Hiti and come to square, market square or other square, your whole behavior changes. So, in my way of thinking, what I'm thinking is that basically the traditional spaces in the past was very much guided by four parameters. I call it physical aspect, and then physical aspect has certain sub parameters and attributes that got to be made. Then you have environmental parameter, which again has certain parameters. In physical aspect, we talk about the physical attributes and all. And then in the environmental aspect, you talk about Professor Tiwari has written that beautifully. I like it that I have used that word, you know, that panchatattva concept of the past, which even science today, the ecological planning that we are talking about, purity of air, purity of the soil, the energy, yes, all of them, how true it is, talking about energy. See, with the energy crunch, the whole world is reading now. And you know, there is a process here, this is not going to last. So, the use of inclusive architecture, which Professor Tiwari very strongly, likes. The inclusive architecture, where architecture includes the nature, doesn't exclude it. The problem with us in recent days has been, all over the world and even in Nepal, we thought that with electromechanical kind of gadgets and facilities, we could create our own ambience and comfort. How false it has become now. So in the past, the architecture and the planning, whole ecological planning needs to be based on inclusive, where you didn't exclude the nature. The paper talked about the urbanization, very quickly I'll get into that. In the early 50s, hardly urban places, Professor Amati is around, I have certain difficulties. The way we define urban places is not, is based on when we declare, we give a name, Nagarpalika, it becomes urban place. That has been the case. All over the world, when we talk about urbanization, what does it mean? Definitely, going from the basic agriculture economy to other services, tertiary and business, and you name it, industrial things. Certain density, certain contiguity, certain level of services and infrastructure. Now think of what to talk of 50 years, now it has become almost 100. For political reasons, we have been, naming the places as Nagarpalika, and they are called Nagarpati. It doesn't matter whether you get water or not. It doesn't matter whether you have a stick or not. It doesn't matter other things, what is the estate of density or not. So, those then, now, it goes on to go on looking at it. How the so-called, why doesn't it go? Okay. See, urban places, 2011, I haven't seen the, document myself, but it has come to my notice that it has become 99, and the urban population is about 17%. Now it's a very sad effort. So I want, in our context, I don't know, for me, to comprehend a place like urban would be all of those things. Contiguity, density, certain level of infrastructure, certain level of services allowed. We don't have that. Yes, you know, certain number of people and you declare it, so you have political power to declare it for certain purpose. So that has been the case. So urbanization in Nepal is entirely on different scenario which I don't comprehend. I don't know how it has been named like that. Just you give a name to a dog and to maintain it, that kind of notion, if it is like that, then it's there. But look at the status of all those attributes of a urban place. It's not there. Now, let me come back to the area that I want to dwell. I wouldn't get into that. Some 30 years back, I have written an article, Fast Shrinking Urban Open Spaces in Kathmandu. And mind you, those were the days when only Rajiv Nepal was there, they didn't want to publish that article. So eventually, I belong to Engineers Association, so they published it in their newsletter. And yes, just think about infrastructure. This is not a big talk that I'm going to give. I'm just telling you the at layman's level, the things that is happening. The status of open space in the past, the open spaces were endowed by individuals or the community. Government didn't buy it like that. So that was the system. Now, whatever endowment was there, and it was unique. They used to call it, you know, Gosa. Gosa is grazing ground for the holy cows. But my God, they never said that it is only for holy cows. Christian, Hindu, Muslim, anybody could Samadhi, it was like a Samadhi, it's a kind of thing. So, in name of religion, you are endowing something which is pretty secular in its delivery. It is an excellent design. I would say that excellent design. Those days population was very low in Kathmandu Valley. And open spaces were surplus. So was the fine agriculture land, and so was the forestry patches also. But gradually after 70s and 80s and 90s, I would like to quote the data. There was a gradual decline or encroachment of the open spaces every year almost 4 to 5%. And look at the consequences. Look at the consequences. Go to Sano Gautaram in Ganesol area. It used to have a couple of wetlands around and some was much bigger. Think of, you know, Bhagavati Baha. It is not like that. By the way, I come from Paran. I came to Kathmandu only after 2017 or 18. Prior to that, I think it must have been real, very pristine. But even those days, I could see. Think of Kamal Pokhari in the same area. Think of Langdon. We have so-called Sahih Smarak there. My God. We are very quick to, you know, declare somebody has become Sahih. And see the way we put the Sahih place. The bankruptcy of the whole thing is the latest one. When our then Prime Minister Nepal, of all the places he thought to retail for this Republic, commemorative, was a great place. That commemorative had to be almost 18 meters high, with wind hot during the time of Russian Empire, I don't know. And then, so isn't it a bankruptcy of idea? You are having all the tanks of armies in the same place. When I came here, even Dr. Rangusala was the one chunk right from Rani Pokhari to Dr. Rangusala. I wouldn't condone that the Thessalonians are places, the right place to be there. And that right now, when you think of it, don't think about it. Think of any habit, natural habit, and think of the consequence. What would happen? Right of it, we talk about our cultural heritage a lot. But look at it. What would have done? Of all the places, the police had to make that house at the corner. I remember I made a lot of noise, my voice went unheard. Then masjid. By the way, don't think that I'm putting it in a religious ground. Purely non-religious kind of thing. It used to be a small mosque there. Say this is from Congress Party. Yes, a lot of petrol dollars coming. And big political power. At a certain point, I had taken no. The sanctity of place goes with the scale of the things of the past. Don't change it. Don't have commercial thing. Somehow in the meeting, I was able to pass it over. But later on, who is here? PL thing was the mayor. And then, Bharati, I cannot hold it. I have to succumb to it. So please succumb to it. Now, when you think of Pratap Barla, when you think of the sanctity of Rani Pokhari, by the way, even the Dammal area that you see, used to be open. It was given for political reasons by the then king for certain, you know, purpose. I don't want to get into that. So the whole chunk of the public domain, the tourist came now. Like national space, what to talk of Kathmandu space only. And see the appreciation that we are having on it. Tremendous. Go to Lavan Cave. All those of, when I say open space, by the way, I include open white land also, the pokhris and all, which are being filled up and filled up all. Let me quote one of the big countries. Pardon, poor Mahanagar Palika complex. My God! It used to be full of tall kind of, used to be open space. So what right Nagar Palika had that to really encroach upon it and be it in the name of the people? That kind of garbage? We have to solve. Forget the individual people who are encroaching upon. So as compared to individuals, when institutions start doing it, when the government starts doing it, when the Prime Minister, you know, recommends something, they hardly talk about their political, you know, values and all those things, and they jump into this kind of very bizarre kind of situation. So, the bottom line is that the public place-making exercise of the power. By the way, I haven't touched on the religious open space of the power by species. Very intentionally, I think, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't function. It does act as a sink point. As compared to that, not a single square inch of open space has been added. Our MLA mayor times, you know, we did try to do a little bit of certain gamla work. From certain point, you will be really decorating it and put gamlas and all those things. Comparatively, it was better in endeavor. But think of the aspiring geometric proportions of the population Kathmandu Valley and then what you are doing. These open spaces are our lungs of our lungs. So don't think of your lungs without thinking about the pieces of the lungs which should be all distributed. In planning context, in social context, in religious context, these open spaces, if we say with pride the importance of heritage of Kathmandu Valley, then let's take care of it. This is not the way We are not putting our acts together at all. By the way, there is no lack of institutions. There is no lack of acts and regulations. Congratulations to your institution, at least. You are arousing the people's sentiment. We have become almost like a science spectator. We love to watch, monkey, dancing, somebody doing something, some unfair things being done, and we'll be just watching. This precious species has to be safeguarded. We have to get out of the hibernation. And when the whole thing comes to the people think that in the past, as they used to think of the belongingness to these places, if that sense of belongingness is aroused, mind you, there will be real custodians of the open spaces. And it's high time. It's high time. At least, it might take you some time. It might take some of the concerned people some time. But this has to be ongoing kind of exercise. That people should feel that this is their common. This is their common property. And they have to stand against the encroachment kind of thing. Otherwise, some living city were going to get kind of situation. Let's not talk about the healthcare. Let's not talk about, we don't have to cater for the tourists. Tourists will come for certain things. Very often we talk about tourists and all. Forget about those things. Think of yourself. When you think of ourselves, our society and our people, tourists will be part and parcel of things. We don't have to add cosmetic to it. Let's do the real thing. And this is the last year of the past. Why do you have to buy how the past, the seed, I will come back to Lati. Lati Kamala Koyo Neva Lati Lati Dasa. Mokoyo, your generation goes back in Lati Kamala Lati Kamala Kamala Lati Tony. Whatever I want you. Well, who's your Kamala? So now I pray. Lati go first. Well, on that day, taking the lack of man's endowment mark to space for the echo. For certain function. मानिसहरूको त रस धार्मिक चिज त आउने भन्ने भयो, घाम ताप्ने पनि ठाउँ हो, एयरको मुभमेन्टको ठाउँ हो, त्यति फास्ट हाइटेक्नेस त थियो नि त. त्यसैले गर्दाखेरि आई फिल द्याट इट हेज टु बी अन गोइङ स्ट्रगल बिकज आवर भ्याल्यु सिस्टम हेज चेन्ज द लट. हामी इन्डिभिजुअल लेभलमा पनि डिफल्टर छौँ, हामी इन्डिभिजुअल लेभलमा पनि छौँ र सङ्गठित रूपमा त सबै छौँ. जे जति संस्थाहरूका यो छन् तिनीहरूले गाई साइन बोर्ड राखेर हुन्छ र डेलिभर हुन पर्यो. इफ यु आर साइन बोर्ड यु बेटर डेलिभर टु इट. नभए के मतलब हो? नभए हाम्रो अझ लाग्ने. We are talking about our reverse system and all. Come on, yeah. The way we are doing all our cultural heritage around the reverse system. But then you have to go to the Buddhist, doesn't matter. Samadhi is a bata wonder, it's place making my work up. If you already say that Samadhi is a Samadhi, सब यो खरिदी कुरा बाहेक अरू केही पनि होइन. मानिसलाई गाना खोजिएको जस्तो कुरा बाहेक अरू केही पनि होइन. यो टाइजेबल वेमा डेलिभर गर्न पऱ्यो नि त. एन्ड हाउ डज इट ह्यापन विथ इक्विटी आउनु पऱ्यो नि त. अनि मात्र समग्रताको होलिस्टिक हिसाबले चाहिँ हाम्रो इन्भाइरोमेन्टल सिस्टमले फङ्सन गर्छ, हाम्रो सोसल सिस्टमले चाहिँ राम्रोसँग फङ्सन गर्छ. बाई द वे, डोन्ट टेक मी एज इफ आइ एम लिप अफ द ओल्ड मी. टाइम लाइक नो बडी क्यान बी स्टप, सी गोज अन स्पिकिङ. the change is bound to happen. But the thing is that the course and orientation should be good enough. Right now things are not going that way. Not to discourage you or not to discourage myself. But let's decide for something if we really want to take faith here in Kathmandu. Let's think about our heritage. Because they are the, you know, part of our value system. Then it will make our community or our nation or the place living. I think I better stop here. I'm sure you will have lot of, you know, things to be asked. There is another thing also. It's not that I want to carry your questions. I will take it wholeheartedly. But once I have talked something very unusual or something very pedantic. The simple things that I've been talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma. For a rather impassioned, well, sounded like an appeal for all of us to become more aware of the need for open spaces in our urban lives. We'll take a few questions and then all of us can go upstairs where there's another assembly. Professor Amate first, and then the lady there.
I'm standing here, and this is Amate. It's a professor's geography. I'm not here to raise questions. I rather appreciate the presentation of Mr. Pranav Sharma, and I fully endorse his view of the encroachment of the public land in Shivra in Kathmandu. And this will be more, will be clear by the fact that the government investigative team has already sealed the Kathmandu municipality office because they have sold the public land in Parliament rather than public service. But I'm standing here just to make some correction. As you see in this particular area, urban place is 99, right? And I was the man to recommend 41 additional municipalities in this country. So that has made up 99. The percentage of the urban fever that you have referred, 17, is that of the 15 municipalities that you take.
Okay.
Right? Because the 41 that I recommend a long time back, but that was different as government. After the census was taken. So that doesn't include. So it must be out of the over 20% in total. That's one thing. I think some good substantial thing also that happened. That you have not incorporated. In fact, there was encroachment in most of the river banks, like Barangay, Vistamasi, Dhulikol, like that. But good thing also has happened. Bypass road, you see, constructed. That mayor, you see, constructed it much easier, wasn't it?
But by the way, what about the river ecology and its domain?
I'll come. You see, assist that provided open space. Not only bypass road, but also it will provide this open space. Otherwise, it will have occupied by the swamp and illegal settlements will happen, you see. That particular also you should probably take into consideration. Because I, like at the outset, I said, I have no question, in fact. You see, it's a very thought-provoking presentation. And in fact, though, we have to be very particular as far as the policy is concerned. You are right, in fact. I was involved in a number of studies about urban policies in Kathmandu, in Nepal, or something directly involved, but then government didn't take into consideration. One thing that I was proud of, in 1980, Dr. Sursun Jwari Progress here, there was a green belt policy adopted when Prakashan Roy was the minister, you see, at that time. The environmental zone, facility, declared the green belt, you see. But then after 1990s, the whole thing was chucked away, you see, and there was encroachment. So, I said, I have no question, but just to ask.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Professor Sharma. I just wanted to ask you, within the course of your presentation, you distinguished between the public spaces that you thought that Mahas and temples were able to provide, and the encroachment of public space by Azizan this masjid. And so I was wondering, how do you distinguish between what religious spaces are considered either public or not? Or is this a distinction you're making in terms of more open space?
I was just saying that Bahal and Bahir, they are religious spaces. It's not that the public is barred from entering it. But technically, it's not like any other Masjid Square or Northern Point or Darbar Square where all the parameters that I talked about, the environmental, physical, social, and behavioral. By the way, these open spaces, as I see it, we make the place places. And these places, out of this environment created, they do modulate our behaviors also. So our behavior pattern also changes with that kind of environment. Otherwise, I would not imply anything else.
Somebody raising hand? We want to go to future.
With this, I think like we are getting a bit late also because there's the other program and many of the people I have been invited to the other also. But the organizer upstairs has asked me to invite all of you who are here to go upstairs, which is behind, and then there's stairs.
And I'll be open to that question even there.
Yes, of course. There will be some interactions there also. Thank you, Mr. Sharma, for this presentation. And we will be conducting another one in 2 weeks from now. Anil Chitrakar, another well-known conservationist, is going to deliver a similar lecture on open spaces. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You don't know.